saw a golden city. New Jerusalem coming down. From the castle walls and gates of pearl, such splendor all around. And he tells about a river of life that flows beneath the throne, where we'll drink and live eternally in a mansion all our own. If that don't
Hallelujah. Touch him this morning.
Amen.
And we believe that you can touch him.
Amen.
Amen. By faith, you can touch him. Touch the hem of his garment. We'll let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Just thank the Lord for his presence and his truth.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing like truth. There's nothing like serving the Lord. You come to the church and get up on Sunday morning and it's just something about coming to the house of the Lord, and it's the frame of mind that you put yourself in and the dedication of the time, and just something really refreshing about coming to the house of the Lord, presenting ourselves to Him, to worship Him, and then give Him opportunity to speak to us together as a body. It's just such a blessing, and so we thank Him for that. We wanted to send greetings to you from Brother David De Leon. That's a brother down in Mexico there. He's called the other day and sent his greetings to the church, and so I told him that I would certainly pass that along. And also Sister Mary had wanted me to thank everyone for the prayers, and she had the surgery there on Thursday morning, so she's just a little bit sore, not quite up to snuff just yet, but she wanted to be sure and thank the church for the prayers and continue, ask you to continue to pray for her. And so we know that the Lord will see her through all that. So, well, I thought wintertime had got here. So it's, 80-something degrees out there this morning already? I said, phew. So anyway, we thank the Lord anyway. He knows what He's doing. I figured out a long time ago that if we had control of the weather, it'd be like everything else that man has control of. It'd be bad stuff. So we'll just commit that all to Him and know that He knows how to fix it all. You know, we have many trials along the way, but I believe God still wants us to enjoy our journey.
That's right.
Right? He wants us to enjoy our journey. And you know, I don't think the Lord was fearful when He walked up in the midst of a bunch of people who were bound with devils and bound with all kinds of troubles. I think that He, knowing with confidence who He was, He knew He could step in the midst of that situation and could help somebody. And I trust before we get out of here and body change that we'll all understand that too, that no matter where you go and what's going on, somebody can benefit by you bringing Jesus Christ to them. And so that's what we want to ask the Lord to certainly help us to come into perfection of how to manifest Him to those around us. You pray for me. I'm a little bit short-winded this morning for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but we just commit that to the Lord. So we go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Peter this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now this is the text that Brother Branham read in Stature of a Perfect Man. I'll read this. Not a huge reading, but take just a little bit there. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now look who it's to. To them that have obtained like precious faith. I believe that's all of us, right? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of His divine nature. How many would like to have His divine nature?
Yeah.
Well, this is how you get it. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and I want to repeat that, if these things be in you, emphasize that, and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. In other words, it'll make you so you'll bear fruit, right? You'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. How many like to come to that spot? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we look upon these words and read them this morning, and so many times I've heard Brother Brown talk about just a mortal man that has the ability to read and can speak and say these words, but Lord, it takes the great Holy Spirit, your presence among us, Lord, to quicken these words to us, that they would speak to us. And God, as your word says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And so, Lord, we're just earnestly asking, God, that you would come this morning and in your great Holy Spirit and your presence among your people, Lord, that you would quicken the word to us this morning. Because, Lord, as individuals without you, we cannot handle this word. We can't look upon it. The book would be closed. We ask, God, that through your grace and your mercy this morning, that all that you've poured out upon your church, that through those gifts and those blessings, Lord, we'd be able to sit in heavenly places this morning and not just look upon the book, but handle it, and, Lord, to eat it and consume it and let it become part of us, giving us the strength for the days ahead. We ask, Lord, that you would help us, and Lord, we know that you promised to be here, and so we're trusting, God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning and that you would live among your people today. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on just a little title and call it Graduation Day. Amen. And so we're all looking for Graduation Day. I am, you know. And I'm sure these young people here, the ones that have been, you know, in high school and heading that way, I'm sure they're looking for graduation day. I know when I was in school, I looked forward to it years and years in advance.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for that. And, you know, we always look ahead and wish time was further down the road. And I had was actually an office worker in the middle school when I was going to middle school. And there was one class, 1 hour there that I didn't have a class, so they sent me in there to the office to help her do things that she needed done. And I'd say, man, I wish it was Friday. And she'd just say, you know, you're just wishing your life away. Just wishing it away. Because it's going to come sooner or later, and then all that's past you can't get past. But so anyway, we're looking for graduation day. And so I kind of want to throw it all together here. When I'm talking about graduation, I'm talking about rapture. I'm talking about the place where we come to that spot in God where it's all finished and we arrive at that full stature of Jesus Christ. So I want to kind of talk about this morning. And so, you know, our walk here in this life, we know, is a progressive thing. Okay? It's a progressive revelation that comes our way. And then as it's a progressive revelation, you see more, you understand more. Then what goes along with that is also a progressive adherence to those things that you know and conducting our lives according to those things that we have received by revelation. And then there's a progressive obedience, right? So progressive revelation, progressive obedience. And remember, Brother Branham gave the example of the fellow that was actually, I think, was disagreeing with Brother Branham. But he said, why don't you come and go home with me? Brother Graham said he lived over the hill. There was a pathway, went through the mountains, and he lived way off some other holler or something. So Brother Graham was giving the example that you have to follow after God, believe God by faith. And this man had this lantern in his hand, and Brother Graham asked him, he said, live right over here. And he said, well, how are you going to get there? He said, well, I got this lantern. And Brother Branham said, that lantern is not showing the light on the house.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, we want rapture. We want graduation. Right?
Right.
But God's not just going to show you the rapture. He's not just going to show you graduation. He's not going to show you the house, the light that he's given you. But what that light does, as he gives an example, is that you hold that lantern out in front of you, and it illuminates the pathway. And so the concept is this: as God gives you revelation and he gives you light, you have to step into it.
That's right.
And then if you don't step into it, you're just going to sit right there and you'll never see graduation. You'll never see the house or the finish line. So, but you have to step into that. And so then it's a progress of every time you step into what God has committed to you, he'll give you something else. And I have to confess to you that most of the time, when I read the scripture where it said, if you're faithful in a few things, I'll make you faithful of a lot of things. And I always looked at it and saying, if I'm faithful with a few things in this life, he'll give me a lot more than that in the world to come. And that may be true. But I come to realize that that is a daily progress. If you're faithful today with what God gives you today, he'll give you a little bit more tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Why would you commit something more to he commit more to us if we're not walking in what we have?
Right.
He has given us. So we know that that's the concept there, is that we have to walk in obedience and walk into what he has given us if we expect to find our way, because it's a progressive revelation that he's moving. And it shows something about being, you know, the scripture said called, chosen, and faithful. There's something about being faithful. Faithfulness is speaking about time and how time tests you and try you, and can you be faithful when the rough times comes and that kind of thing. And so this progressive revelation, progressive obedience of the things that God gives us. Now, you know, a parent desire to see their children come to total maturity. I have no interest and never have had interest in seeing my children stay as little children. And though I love to see the little babies and the little ones we have in the church, I just sit and smile and watch them, and it's such a blessing. But we have no intention and have no desire for them to stay as little children.
Yeah.
It's just natural, the way it works, it's natural that we would want them to come to maturity, even though when we see that happening, it makes us sad sometimes. But we realize that the place that child needs to be is not continue forever as a child. The place that child's got to come to is got to come to a full, mature adult. Right? And so it's only natural for a parent to want that. And our Heavenly Father, the same way, he has no intentions of you staying as a baby Christian. He has no intentions of that. His intention is to bring you to the place where you graduate into the things that he has prepared for you. So it starts out as a little child, and the parent interacts with the child. I've said this many times. You interact with a child on the capability that the child should have. And you watch that child's progression, and at a certain age, he should begin to crawl. And at a certain age, he should begin to walk. And at a certain age, he should begin to talk.
Yeah.
And if you don't see those happening along the way, you get concerned, because there's something happening in the development of that child that's not exactly what it should be. And this is the same with Christians. As we come to the Lord, we wouldn't expect a person would come right in off the street, give their heart to the Lord. We wouldn't expect them to comply totally with church order right off the bat. But give them a little while and we'd start looking at them going, what's the matter? How come they're not progressing? And so you give attention to the places where progression is not happening. And so, you know, you young people say, well, my mom or my dad, they all the time are getting on to me about this. They constantly getting on to me about this. Well, why don't you advance beyond that and they wouldn't have to get on to you?
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So anywhere where you're supposed to be progressing and you stop right there, that's right where you are. How many times did Brother Rem say, where you leave God, that's where you have to go back and find it?
That's right.
And so with our walk with God, we can advance with God and we can move forward. And at some point, if we stop moving with God, that's where we are. And you can expect God, you can expect your preacher, you can expect the pastor and the evangelist and everybody. They're going to hammer right there, because that's where you're stalled out.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way it works. And so it starts as a little child, progresses on through progression, progressive revelation, progressive experience. And the end product is to bring them to the place where they are a full, mature adult, a position of what I'm going to refer to as perfection. Right?
Yep.
Perfection in the scriptural sense, in many cases there, just means complete. All the way come up completely full. Completely rounded in experience to handle the decision making and the power of an adult. See? So God, we all want to come to a place where we'd all like to be able to pray the prayer of faith 100% of the time like Jesus did, right? We'd like to be able to handle every situation, but you see, there's a certain character that goes along with that. And so if we're shy of that character, then this is one reason why we don't get the results sometimes, because we're not quite there yet. But we want to be there. So, you know, a parent believes that the child, even as a little baby, those little ones back there, we believe they have the gift in them, the littlest one, to walk. I watched him crawl around last night, and he's just about ready to stand up and take off, looks like, sometimes. But we believe he has the gift of walking. Well, that gift's laying there, but that gift has to manifest in time, and there has to be experiences to reciprocate to bring that gift forward, and it's a progressive thing, right? We understand that. It's the same way with our walk with God. Praying the prayer of faith, being able to overcome the trials when they come, always having the right attitude, and always letting the Word have preeminence in our lives when tough things come up. Those are all things that we have to grow into to become a greater manifestation of those gifts that are laying there that God has called us to. So we believe that there is the gift of walking and the gift of full maturity laying in all of our people, all of our young people. And so I was reading a quote where Brother Branham, he's actually talking in Questions and Answers, and he's talking about gifts of the Spirit like they have in Pentecost and the way they manifest them. And Brother Branham said when Billy Paul back there was first starting to walk, he was up and down, and he was down more than he was up. But he didn't know how to walk, and he said, but I believe that he had the gift to walk, see? And I let him walk a little while. And then when he began to stumble on his big feet, I tell him about it. See what I mean? He's going along looking at something else, or popping, I think he's popping chewing gum or something like that. And I'd say, pick up your feet, boy. Where are you at? So Brother Ram is explaining there that even this gift, he believed Billy Paul had a gift to walk. And then so he just let him go, and he'd stumble and whatever. But after a while, it comes to the place where you have to start correcting that if that walk's not right.
Right.
Right? And so Brother Ram said he'd look at Billy Paul and say, what are you doing? Where are you at? What are you looking at? You're supposed to be walking right. And so he's given that example, and he was given the example of Pentecost, that the gifts of the Spirit speaking in tongues. Yeah, when they first come in, they might... But after a while, you hold them to some responsibility that it's got to be right, right? And that's what he was talking about. So it's the same way with our walk with God. God is not going to let us sit and just continue on at some level. I don't care how far you're off the ladder. If you're not over the top yet, then God's going to be addressing you where you're at. And especially if you're lacking, and you should be moving forward and you're not. If you're plateauing, he's going to be talking to you about it. Because there's always something to draw you further. I remember hearing Brother Ram talk about laying there on the bed, and he said, boy, if you're going to get something done for God, you better get done.
Yeah.
And that's the way we are. A Christian believes that all the time, thinking, man, I wish I need to do something for the Lord, you know. And you may have done all kinds of things for the Lord, but there's something in you constantly wanting to move on and rise. And we all constantly say, you know, I want to grow in God. I want to be closer to God. I want to be more like God. That's what a Christian has a desire. And if you ever reach the point where you're no longer wanting to be more like Christ, there's something wrong.
Yeah, right.
See, so, you know, we have something called diagnostics. You know, when there's something wrong, you diagnose what it is, what the problem is. And so God has diagnostics in his Word to find out what the matter is.
Right.
So, we parents, we believe that these children and our young people, and we all believe they have the gift of coming to maturity. And so as time goes on, the parent calls for manifestation of all these things along the way as it's time for them. They call for it. And a parent will never, if they're really thinking about it, should never call for something that it's not time for it. Mm-hmm. And never call for something that that child's not been shown how to do.
Yeah.
You say to your son, hey, how come you didn't, you cut that board wrong on that saw? How come you did that? Well, Daddy, you never showed me how to cut the board on right. Uh-huh. See what I'm saying? So a parent would never, and God would never call for you to do something that he knows that you can't do.
Yeah.
Right? And so he has never called for you to do something that he has not shown you how to do. Uh-huh. And so Jesus Christ showed us how it's done. It's right there in the gospel. He has shown us exactly how to overcome, how to drive out darkness, how to be an overcomer, how to be temperate in the things that we should be from time to time, and so how that we should drive out the money changers sometimes, and sometimes let them pull the beard out of our face.
Right.
Yeah? So he showed us how to do it. He's explained to us. It's right here in his word. And he expects us to do it. He expects us to do the same thing. These things that I do and greater things than these shall you do, right? Because I go to the Father. So he would go back into that dimension and come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. And now he in you is doing again in you what he did when he was here in his flesh. And I want you to pick up on that and hold that right there. He learning obedience by the thing he suffered, he's doing that again in you.
Amen.
Christ is here on this earth once again, growing to maturity in his bride.
Right.
Right? He's doing it. And so back there, he did these things and come to fullness back there, and this is the way it was, and he requires and desires the same thing. Why? Because the same one that was there is now here desiring to do the same thing. So he has emphatically has given the call to his people to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, do all the things that he did. He was our example, and he's called us to that.
Yeah.
And so we're not going to water it down in any way, you know. We're going to tell you the truth, that God has told us that we can represent him in that fashion, and we certainly want to express him to the world that way. So a parent will call for those things. God will call for those things because, from his church, because he has shown us how it's done. Mm-hmm. And especially even in this day, with a ministry that came along and took Jesus Christ and brought him out of history and made him alive in our day. So now, we describe this child being born as a baby, and it goes through this process of learning and adhering and learning greater things and walking and talking and going to school and finally reaching maturity. And so this growth process of learning and adhering and growing, if the child does these things, and I'm expressing this to tie back to the scripture, if these things be in you. Mm-hmm. So if the child adheres and learns and comes through this progress, if they do, there's something waiting for them, right? If they come forth with those. In other words, if they can grow in the grace of God, if they can come forward in the things that he has committed when the time comes and they grow, and at some point he's got them growing to the full stature of Jesus Christ. He has a church doing that, but he has individuals doing that. And so if they go through this process and they gain these things and have these experiences and get this under their belt and are able to do these things and walk right every time, all the time, and so forth, there's something waiting for them. And I'm referring to that as graduation. And they go through school and they learn the things that's to be there. And so if they have these things and they come to that place, they come to graduation, a graduation is they're being birthed into something. Birthed out of one realm into another realm. So that baby's being formed in a womb and is birthed into another dimension. And so whenever you young people, you go to school and you're doing these things, and if these things be in you, and you finally get to the place where all this is in you and abounds, you got it. You know how to do it. You got your reading, writing, arithmetic, and you got your history or whatever and all the things that require. You've got it. You've learned it. These things are in you and they abound. Then you've earned your graduation.
Yeah.
And so when they call you up on the stage there and they give to you this diploma, when he gives to you, he's ministering to you a diploma. But what is he doing? He's ministering to you a doorway into maturity and the ability to go right out of there and go out into the world and be just like daddy, just like mommy and daddy. So you're, by being given this, you're being birthed out of being a student, birthed into manhood, or both birthed into womanhood, right? So if these things are in you and abound, you reach this point and something is ministered to you that births you from that being a student and births you into maturity, manhood, and going forward. And so when it births you into that, now you can do just like what daddy did, just like what mama did. Now what did daddy do? Okay? When daddy became a full adult, and he walked out there and he took all those things that was in him that he learned that abounded. He took all of that, had the credential of a diploma, and he walked out and he's able to buy a house and he's able to get a job and he's able to establish himself as his own kingdom. He's able to establish and he's able to go out, and so he's actually becoming a creator to create a name for himself and a kingdom of his own house and his own establishment. And he's able to go out and create these things and able to go out and create a wife. And I say create a wife because I want you to think of it in a godly standpoint. But what does he do? You say, well, he doesn't create his wife. He goes out with all those credentials. He goes out and he's able to find a wife. And he's able to speak to her if she's the right one. And God spoke to his heart through character. He's able to speak to her. And he by his words and by his character, he woos her. He's creating to himself a life companion.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And so he's a creator. When you graduate, you're birthed into becoming a creator.
Yeah.
Becoming an entity of your own to go forth and have a name and an establishment of your own. So you go forth like that and you become a creator and you create a wife and you marry her, and then between you and her, you create, have children, right? Okay. Now this is what happened. God wanted to have a family. He wanted to be a family.
That's right.
You could say have a family, but you have to realize that it's God in us that makes us his family. So God wanted to be a family, and so he created a universe, created all these things to create a wife that he could come down and dwell in that could produce offspring for him, so to speak. You understand? And so that's why I type it that way. So I want to go back to this, and you forgive me if I say it too many times, but if these things be in you and abound, then this is what you got coming. Right? If they're not in you, or if they don't abound, do you get the diploma? No. See? So this is what stature of a perfect man is about. Right? So we're going to talk about that as much just as time will allow us here this morning and try to move through it quickly. They're birthed into a kingdom of maturity. Maturity of their own to go out and carry out and do the right things. Now, in the book of Ephesians, if she'll bring that up, we'll read it real quick, and then I'll make some comments about it. We're familiar with this. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, would he put all that ministry in the midst of his church, knowing they'd never come to perfection? No, he put them there to bring them to perfection, right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? How long is this going to happen? Till we, some of us or all of us in Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. We're not divided. Unity, you got to have a focal point that everybody looks to. And that focal point has to be the Word of God. It has to be a message that's established to be the truth of the hour. And we all look to that. That's our ultimate.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to have the unity of the faith. till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who's the perfect man? Christ. Right? Christ Jesus is the perfect man. And so the scriptures here tell us that there's an end time church that's coming, and it speaks of the maturity level of that church. That when you have Christ and he has a certain magnitude, the church has the same magnitude. She is him.
Yeah.
Right? Because the church has learned through the ages and gained through the ages and have learned these things, and they have, are abounding, that they reach this point of graduation. And the graduation we're talking about is where he comes out of heaven and in tabernacles in her, and he becomes incarnate in her, and she is him, and the ministry, the bride and the ministry of Christ are one.
Right.
Now I'm quoting Brother Branham here. So she comes to this place, but she gets there by things abounding and learning and growing until they come to the spot where he comes in. There's the graduation. There's the adoption. There's what we're looking for. We have more of it than what people might think. We have more of it than what you might think. But that's the whole process we're talking about. It said there would be an end time church that would come to the full stature of Christ. And this is speaking of adoption. And this is speaking of also body change. Now, I'm not saying that the very moment that you become Christ incarnate, your body's changed. But you've moved into a cycle where he's there and he's present and he's manifesting himself the way he wants to. And then at some point, your body has changed.
Right.
Because quickening power has come into the body. Mm-hmm. And these are terminologies that already here. There's quickening power in his church right now to give a body change. He'll do it when he gets ready. But before he does it, he has to be incarnate in his church. And before he raptures us, he has to be able to manifest through us everything that he wants to manifest. Everything that he wants to express to this generation, he has to do that first through her, and then he'll change her bodies. Because you realize when he takes her, he's taking his presence from the earth. There ain't no more reaching nobody after that. Then the gospel goes to the Jews. It's a physical thing to that 144,000, and that's it. There's not going to be any more Gentiles saved. So he wants to express everything that he needs to commit to the Gentiles, commit to this world through her, and when all that's done and he takes her, his whole program changes.
Yeah.
Okay? So, in Romans chapter 8, this is speaking of adoption also. And so we read this the other day. For we know that the old creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, right? But what is that? To wit, the redemption of our body. To wit is total redemption, to fully comprehend a total redemption of our bodies. So it's body change.
Yeah.
We remember in the scriptures how Jesus came to adoption, right? Remember he was baptized and the voice said, "This is my beloved son," right?
Yeah.
"This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased." But didn't say, "Hear ye him." Then later on, at Mount Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared to him, there and the disciples saw it, he took Peter, James, and John, took them up there, and on Mount Transfiguration, his apparel began to shine white, so he was coming to adoption, he was lifted up on a high place, and the Father said, put a robe of righteous appearance upon him, and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased, hear ye him." And there was his adoption. And I love what Brother Ram said about that. He said, because you know, whenever that happened, then the disciples were afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw only Christ. At first it was Moses and Elijah had appeared there. But when it said that they all appeared and went off the scene, and then they looked up and said, only Christ. And so Brother Ram was talking about that. And he said, you know, Moses represented the law. The law condemns you because you can't live it. And then Elijah represented the judgment or justice of God. So if the law, if Moses is present to tell you you got to live right and you can't, then Elijah's there to condemn you, to bring judgment upon you because you didn't meet the law. Right? But God's, the heart of God's redemption was not law, Moses, and it wasn't the judgment or justice of God, because if we received the justice of God, we'd all be perished. Right? But God, what was on God's heart was not Moses with the law, not justice of God through Elijah, but it was grace through Christ. And so that's why that on this Mount Transfiguration, when Jesus came to his adoption point, this is where God was going to say to the world, here's what I'm really trying to tell you. I'm not trying to tell you about Moses and the law. And I'm not trying to tell you about Elijah and his ability to call fire down and burn people up. That's not what's on my heart. What's on my heart is my son. That's why I want to get across to you. Grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham said when that happened, that was a preview of the end time when the sons and daughters of God come to adoption. He said, just like they give a preview to a movie and let a certain small group of people come in and they get to see the movie before everybody else gets to see it. And so Peter, James, and John got to see this preview of what's going to happen at the end time. And what is it that's going to happen at the end time? Remember, God was in Christ expressing himself. Now Christ is in his church expressing himself, doing the same thing in his church what he did back then. And when he in himself came to adoption, now he's in his church. He's going to bring his church to adoption. Yep. Right? And when the church comes to adoption, the real message is going to be put out there of what God, what's been on God's mind. Not all this other stuff. Right? So the things that were misunderstood in the Old Testament got clarified when Jesus was adopted. So all the questions about Luther and Wesley and the Dark Ages and all that, all those questions get clarified when this bride at the end time steps on the scene and is in full manifestation of sonship. I know it sounds weird, bride, sonship, but you follow me, students of the message, you know what I'm saying. Then the truth gets put out there. And so, coming to adoption is also the same thing. What are we talking about? When God comes in. Right? How many believe that God lived in Jesus Christ when he was in the manger? Right? But he had to grow from that.
Sure.
To the maturity level of walking up the to the cross. And through that process, he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and he grew in favor with God and with man, says the scriptures.
Yeah.
He come forward until now God says, hear ye him. You better listen to him because he's the one that's got it. And he's doing the same thing today in his church, bringing them to that place where the voice is in the bride. And that's why it ends up in the book of Revelation. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Because the Spirit is now in the bride incarnate. And that's why it actually comes to the place here at the end time that if people want to hear the voice of God, guess where they're going to hear it? Right through the mouth of his elect bride. Who actually have come to full adoption is what's happening. So, 2 Peter talks about this same thing. We read the scriptures there, and we're going to go through it. So it talks about the stature of a perfect man. And I said a while ago, there's only one perfect man, and that's Jesus Christ. So our growth process being born in this world, or in the spirit world, born and then going through a process coming to maturity, we're growing up into this mature level where Christ can be manifested in his fullness. Now, a lot of, if you haven't listened to the stature of a perfect man, you'll notice that Brother Branham had a different name for that message than he did when he asked what they've actually called it, stature of a perfect man. He might have actually said that at some point. But what he said, we're building the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. Now, this is what he called it. And so we want to talk about this. So when we talk about stature of a perfect man, what we're talking about is that we are building a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. See? So if I'm building Brother Daniel a house, then there's certain things Brother Daniel needs in that house. He needs a kitchen. He needs a bathroom. He needs a bedroom. He needs a closet. He needs a garage. He needs a washroom. One more. A pantry. Seven. I just don't want to make it seven. And I may not remember those as I go on, but he needs those things. So if I'm building him a house, he ain't going to move into that house until all of those rooms are completed.
Right?
So I'm building a place for Brother Daniel to live, but he's not going to come in until it's complete. But just as soon as that final coat of paint is put on and everything's finished, now Brother Daniel's going to come in with all of his glory and come right in and inhabit that house. And anytime Brother Daniel needs to manifest actions that require a bathroom, he's got a bathroom he can express through. That may sound funny, but anytime he has a need for a bedroom or a kitchen, any room that he needs, This is what he needed in order to manifest himself properly to all the things that he might want to do. He has to have all these rooms.
Right?
So ain't no sense in trying to get him to come into a house that don't have all those, because if he didn't come in, he couldn't express something.
Right?
So you got to make sure that the house is suitable for the character of the one who's going to come there. If he happened to be in a wheelchair, then that house would have to have wheelchair ramps.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So the tabernacle that you're building for somebody has to be suitable for the character and the desire of the one who's going to live there.
Yeah.
So the stature of this perfect man Brother Ram is talking about, that we were building this tabernacle, a living tabernacle, for the living God to dwell in. So there are certain things the living God's going to have in this tabernacle if you want him to come and live in there. Right? If you want him to come, you're going to have certain things. And so we're going to talk about those things. And what we're talking about as we go through this process of building this tabernacle, bringing it, we finally come to the place where he'll come in. He'll be happy to come in, because he knows that he can express himself in every way that he desires to when he wants to come in. And as soon as it's done, here he comes, and all his glory, he's going to come down and express himself. Now we're talking about God at the end time desiring to express himself in a living tabernacle, a church, that he can come down and incarnate himself in and express himself in that church in every way that he desires to, and will be limited not one smidgen in any way. If he wants to manifest authority, he can do it. If he wants to manifest meekness, he can do it. And there's not a hindrance there. He doesn't have to deal with us for 5 or 6 days before we finally do it. She comes to such a place, so obedient to these things that are in her and are abounding. She comes to such a place that when he wants to manifest something right quick, he can do it.
Yeah.
Be a little bit funny again. If Brother Daniel needs to get up and go to the bathroom, how long is he going to need? He's going to stand around waiting and need to go. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's important. When you're ready to eat, you want to go eat. You don't want to have to wait for 15 days before you finally get the kitchen to surrender to you. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's important. If I want my hand to reach over and pick something up, I don't want to wait 15 minutes until my hand, all of a sudden my hand jumps over there 15 minutes later. God wants us to move now. And so the coming to this place where he can move in every way he wants to, this is what we're talking about, of coming up and building and coming to the place where these things are there and they abound. Because when they abound, that means he can easily express himself through those things, because it's a tabernacle he wants to express through. So we're talking about there in Second Peter, he says, now I'm talking to the church. Peter says this, I'm talking to the church, those that have attained like precious faith, those who have escaped the corruption of the world. I'm talking to this kind of person. And I'm telling them, and I'm going to paraphrase a lot, okay, but just so you understand where I'm going with this. But he says to this people, he says, I'm talking to the redeemed, I'm talking to the church, those who have attained like precious faith. I'm talking to those that's had an experience in God. I'm talking to them. And I'm telling you, God don't want you just to stay right where you're at, just in faith. But he wants you to add to that faith virtue. Yeah. And he wants you to add to that virtue, knowledge and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Now he wants you to add to that. Now what is he telling us here? He's saying God wants you as his living tabernacle. But he's got to be able to manifest some stuff through you if he's going to come live in you.
Right.
Now he's in you as an infant form, like he was in Christ as an infant. And then Christ grew and God grew in him, right, into that place. So now God comes in, you get the Holy Ghost, you have an experience. But now that experience, by that experience, he wants to start making you grow and making you gain some stuff. And you begin to learn this and gain this and you comply to that and you begin to be able to express these things and work with these things and become obedient to these things, because he wants to come in and he wants to be able to express to you, through you, virtue. So he says, now I want to be able to come in and I want to be able to express virtue, so I want you to add to your faith virtue so that when I come I can express virtue. Because when he was here, he expressed virtue.
Yeah.
Because a woman come up and touched the hem of his garment. And he said, virtue went out from him. He felt power, strength went out from him. He knew it. And so Brother Graham said this way, he had virtue in him that could go out, that people could draw from, and he expects you to have it too. He expects us to have something in us of strength and virtue that other people who are in need could touch the hem of his garment through us. Look how many times Brother Branham said, he give discernment, and he said, now whose garment did she touch? I'm 25 feet from her. It wasn't me she touched.
Uh-huh.
Who was it she touched? It was Christ.
Yeah.
But how did she do it? Because there was a minister present that had virtue.
That's right.
And this is what it is for us. So that somebody could say, you know what, I don't feel good today, and if I can just get to Brother Daniel, or just get to Brother Tony, and ask them to pray for me, I believe God will help me. Virtue. Well, you can't have virtue, a ministry like that. You can't have virtue that people would draw from if you live just any old way.
That's right.
You see? So he wants to express through you virtue. So he says, add to virtue, strength, add to your faith virtue. And then he says, now, add to your virtue knowledge. Right? So now God wants to be able to express himself through you when you have the right kind of knowledge. Right? Not man's knowledge, but God's knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge to know, the example Brother Branham, I believe, gave, he says, knowledge to know that the Word of God does not contradict itself.
Yeah.
Right? So we've got to have the right kind of knowledge, and when that right kind of knowledge, we have virtue in us, and that virtue abounds. Mm-hmm. It's in us and abounds. Right? It's there. It's strengthening. It's growing. It's there. It's prevalent.
Yeah.
It's not weak. It's strong. There's virtue there. It's really there. And Brother Ram said, these are real virtues.
Right.
So they're really there. And so there's a knowledge, a godly knowledge that we are to receive to add right on top of that virtue, a knowledge that God's word is right and it'll do just what he said and it won't fail.
Uh-huh.
And when you have that right kind of knowledge, add that to your virtue. Because now God can come in when he finally comes in at the end after this thing is full built up. He'll come in, and when he needs to express himself through a manner that takes advantage of the fact of knowing that his word won't fail, and it'll always, then now he in you can draw from that resource and say, the word never fails. You see what I'm saying? And you can be strong in your faith. Because you've gained that knowledge to know God don't fail in his word.
Amen.
And I'm not backing up on it. God is right.
Amen.
You see what I mean? So that's why it's got to be there. We've got to have that in our experience.
We all want to come to that place where he comes in and expresses himself fully, and we become the incarnate Christ on the earth, and that's our graduation, and then shortly our body change right after a real powerful short demonstration.
Yep.
That's what we're looking for. So we add to faith virtue, knowledge. And then when he says add to your knowledge temperance. Brother Bram said, now temperance don't mean to stop drinking, because Christians don't drink, right? We don't have a problem with that. We know that's right. But he said temperance. You know what temperance means? It means, I'm going to use my own words, but being right in the middle of the road. Temperate. Because you can take metal and it can be too soft and it won't hold an edge for a knife. Right? It won't hold an edge. It dulls it the first thing. But then you take it and you can make it really hard where you can't dull it. But you strike it on something and it breaks the knife completely in half because it's brittle. So temperate is getting somewhere in the middle. Right? In the middle of the road. Not extreme this way and not extreme that way. Not starchy like some of these churches, and not so radical that nobody can learn anything in the presence of the church, but right in the middle where God can get something done. Right? See, Pentecostals want to condemn message churches because they're not radical. You know what? We're temperate. Right? But at the same time, we know that if something's alive, it's going to make a little bit of noise. It shows some life, right? See what I'm saying? Temperate. And we know we've got, from both sides, you know, you guys are dead, you don't do this. No, we're not dead, we're temperate. Uh-huh. Right? Because if we were dead, then the ministry here would be having to tell you that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
So we're temperate. Now, they take a sword, and they'll take a sword that's got nice, soft metal that won't break, but can't hold an edge. And they'll overlay on the outside or inlay into the blade a very hard metal that holds an edge.
Yeah.
So now you get the best of both worlds. It's got an edge that's extremely hard. It'll hold an edge, and yet it's brittle, but it's backed up against another metal that won't break.
Yeah.
So they learn stuff like that. What have they done with that sword? They took the best of both worlds and made it right in the middle where it needs to be.
Right.
You see what I mean? So we're temperate. And temperate means that whenever it comes time to drive the money changers out of the temple, we know how to do it. And the very next minute later, it might be time for us to let them pull the beard out of our face and not say a word about it.
That's right.
Temperate. To know exactly how to respond in every situation.
Amen.
Now, what is it saying? When he comes, he's going to want to be able to manifest that in his people. Temperance. So before he can manifest it, you've got to have that in your house that he's going to live in. He's got to be able to walk into that room of temperance once in a while and express himself properly. So you got to have it. So we're adding to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. What are we doing? We're building a living tabernacle that the living God can come and dwell in.
Yeah.
Right? Now this happens to us as an individual, but it's been happening for seven church ages. Coming to the end where he can come and dwell in. So add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Add to your temperance, patience. Patience to know, like Abraham, you might have to wait on God. He might not do it today. He might not do it tomorrow. But patience enough to know, way back over here, knowledge. I know that God's word don't fail. Therefore, I can have patience.
Yep.
Right? Because they go together. Patience to know that God will do what he said. Because, you know, to be tested by Mr. Unbelief and the different ones that Brother Ram talked about, that means you find yourself in times when you got to wait on the Lord. He ain't manifested it yet. Just like he gives the example that Noah got inside the ark and the door was shut, and 7 days later still ain't got no rain. Right? And everybody's like, I told you. Patience. You got to have patience to be able to stand there when they laugh at you and make fun of you because you haven't got your healing yet.
Yep.
But patience knows God's coming. He ain't going to fail, because you know that from knowledge, that his word don't fail. So now you're going to stand here and express patience knowing that he don't fail. So it's virtues of the word of God. It's bringing you to the place where you will be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing you to the place where you can produce this thing we're talking about. But you'll never produce it if you got all these things missing elsewhere, see? So you add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Patience enough to know that God will do, he will do it eventually. And then something you add to your patience, godliness. Brother Ram said he looked up to see what godliness meant. It said mean to be like God. To be like God. And so these are all virtues that's in him that he expressed. And now he's come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. He's birthed you into his kingdom, give you that faith. And now that same Holy Ghost is trying to add to all these things because he wants to come in the full form at some point in your adoption. He wants to come into you at a place where you are birthed into that majestic person of Jesus Christ who now go forth and with creative everything, all the characters there, to handle the power and authority that comes with it. To be like God. And so, you know, there's a lot of things you can say about being like God, but one of the things that comes to mind to me is that God, there's no variableness in him or shadow of turning. Yeah. He's consistent. Day in and day out, he's consistent. Right? Yeah. Day in and day out. In other words, he's always abiding by these virtues exactly the same way. It's funny to me, it's kind of interesting because Brother Ram gives the example. He says, Jesus come and drove out the money changers. And you'd look at him and say, man, what's the matter with this guy? Look at your kind old priest over here. Kind old priest. He's the one that loans you money when you're in trouble and comes and prays for you. Who's this guy? He's driving the money changers. He's just tearing up the temple. But he was fulfilling the word of God.
Yeah.
Your kind old priest wasn't. See? Right. There was the difference there. The zeal of the Lord, right, of his house has eaten me up. See? So this is one of those cases where that temperance was to know how that it was time to fulfill that scripture. The zeal of the house of the Lord hath eaten me up, right? That was it. Then other times, let him crucify him. Could have called for 12 legion of angels, but then the word wouldn't have been fulfilled. Temperance, see, to know not to call those angels. To let this word of God come to pass. And that's what we have to do sometimes. Sometimes we come to the place where we have a situation and we know that the power of God comes upon us and we are able to speak to that situation. And there's other times when we know he's not letting us speak to it.
Yeah.
And we have to endure it. Paul said he was a prisoner, right? I'm a prisoner. If he lets me address it, I can address it. If he doesn't let me address it, I don't. I prayed for a woman one time who was dying. God raised her up. I went some time later and prayed for another woman who was dying, and she died anyway. And you know what? You learn. But I knew when I was praying for the second woman, I knew it wasn't going to be. You see what I'm saying? We're a prisoner to Christ. Well, temperance, to always know that he can express himself the way he wants. So to be like God, godliness, to be consistent, to be what God would be. And the world comes up and picks up this thing, WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would he do? Well, he wouldn't be joining up with the World Council of Churches, I know that. Because he didn't back then. And he won't now. Right? Consistent. So add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. To add upon that brotherly kindness. And then after brotherly kindness, charity. Now, all of these are virtues. Not to cut those short, but just to try and get done here. These are all virtues that he desires to express in you and he desires to express in his church as a whole.
And so these virtues have to be built up and brought up, and we have to gain these things, and they have to be in us, and they have to abound.
Right.
And at some point, when we come to that place where all these things, if these things be in you and abound, we get to the place where they are in us and they are abounding, then it's graduation time. Yeah. He's coming and moving in to express himself, because he can express himself in every fashion, in every way, the way he wants to, without any limitations. This is why it's so important that we walk with God, that he's what we're about, that when we get up each day, it's like Brother Brown would say, I go out in the woods, as soon as the sun comes up, I got my hands up in the air, leaning up against the tree, saying, Lord, what would you have for me today? What would you have me do today? I say this to the Lord every week, Lord, what would you have me tell your people? What do you want me to say to them?
Yeah.
Right? And we should all be that way. What would you have for me to express today? And so that he could easily express something without limitations.
Yeah.
So this is why that we should give attention. We read it there. All diligence. Give diligence to this. To add to ourselves these virtues. Because he wants to use those. And once we've done that and come to that full place, now he will come in, and now you're not just a child of God with the Holy Ghost that's going in the rapture and saved, and no matter what happens, not just that, but you come to the place now he comes down and incarnates himself through you and can express himself. And that comes here at the end time, the church at the end, that he has placed apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, to bring you to that spot, so now there's a church on the earth that he can express through anytime he wants, and the members of that body he can express through them individually, because they have the virtues, and his church as a whole has come through to those virtues.
Yeah.
Okay? So, he wants to express himself through virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, godliness. He wants to express himself through brotherly kindness. There's going to be situations that arise that the only proper way to deal with it is through brotherly kindness.
Yeah.
And that's why it's got to be there. Right? Mm-hmm. But the capping up, bringing it all to that, is charity. The capstone, Christ himself coming down and capping off all this work the Holy Spirit has done in his people. Coming down and capping that off in his charity. And so, Peter says there that if you do these things, in other words, you come through all this, if these things in you are abound, and if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's what he said. Now, what did Paul, this is Peter now talking about this, but what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13 about charity? Right? We're adding to faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And if you do these things, you'll never fall, never fail. Right? And Paul over here saying in 1 Corinthians 13, that charity never faileth.
Right.
Who's the only one that can't fail? We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ coming to that place where it's always, he's always correct. He's bringing us to that spot where it's charity never faileth, you'll never fall. Okay? So when we come to that place where we're graduated, why? Because the capstone comes down and caps us off. He's willing to come and move into this house that's been built for him. Okay? What's the next thing? That entrance that's ministered to you into that everlasting kingdom. We just read that one when he said that. If you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you see what I'm talking about? After you get here to this place and you reach that spot and you graduate, what happens at graduation? You're ministered a diploma. You're ministered this movement that takes you out of being the student right out into a world of a creator. You follow me?
Yeah.
This is what comes. That once Christ comes down and in tabernacles himself, and at this point,
Not just all along the way as we have the Holy Ghost, but when we come to this point right here, we graduated. And what did you graduate to? What did you graduate from? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We leave something and go to something else, and we're able to go to something else because we've mastered the something we're leaving behind type of thing. That's preparation. Being faithful with small things so he can give you big things. Faithful with schoolwork, day in and day out for 12 years. I know, I did it. I didn't like it either. Faithful with your schoolwork, the small things, allows you to go out and spend 40, 30, 40, 50 years at a job and making money and providing for your family. And if you want to go hunting, you go hunting. If you want a new gun, you go get a new gun. That's what this preparation is for, so you can be birthed out there into that kingdom to be what you're called to be in the first place. And that's what these virtues are. It's to bring us to that spot that he comes in, and now it's him in the fullness, and you go from this dimension into that other dimension to be that son of God, daughter of God, if you want to say it that way. Fully expression, never to have to go back to that classroom again like, wow, because you've done got it. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Once that baby's born, it don't have to go back to mama's womb again. So we're birthed into that rapture, into that body change, being what God wants us to be in the first place. And you remember a few weeks ago, I said, you know, a son and a father can't truly have 100% fellowship with each other until that son does come to equality with the father. And then they can work together. And so the father's down there, and he's trying to do fence post or whatever to put barbed wire up when something needs to be done. And the son sees it, knows it, doesn't even have to be. He jumps right down there and does what needs to be done right there alongside the father. Father don't even have to tell him because he knows.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So we come to that place where now we can go out there, and if God's present or he's not present, we still always do what's right.
Yeah.
That's what he brings us to. But we can never underestimate the importance of buckling down back here and doing what we got to do.
Yes.
As these virtues are being built, coming to graduation. Because until that entrance is ministered to you into that kingdom, until that happens, you've still got work to do.
Amen.
You've still got work and a graduation to meet. But as soon as that hits, and then God comes down and he says, there you are, there's your body change. You can look back and wave to the classroom, wave to this earth, wave to all the trials and all the troubles and everything. Just wave goodbye. And go right on. Amen? So now, how many wants graduation?
Amen.
Okay. You just raised your hand saying, I'm going to buckle down and do harder. Because in order to get that, you got to do it here. This works for you young people in your daily schools, too, school chores, too. But, you know, Brother Rabb said, there's an answer in the Bible for all of anything, right? If there's a Bible question, there's a Bible answer. There's an answer on how to live and how to conduct ourselves, because the same Creator that made us and made us what we are is the same one that speaks this word, and he don't fail. Amen? Now, you know what? This may seem a little bit trivial to you and I, because we've heard this. We've heard statue of a perfect man. We've heard these virtues and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't let it be common to you. You get outside the walls of this and you try to talk about things like this to the, and I don't mean message, just necessary message, but what you know to be a fact, that God's word never fails, and this does not contradict that. You won't find people that comprehend that out there. They've not been schooled enough under the right message to know they haven't, because they're not in this stature.
Yeah.
See? Not condemning them, but somewhere along the way they've rejected the word. That means they're not in this school bringing on this stature of a perfect man that Christ will come and dwell in. They're not in there. And so you and I, you know, we hear this all the time. Yeah, but if you get out there, you'll find out that them people don't understand that God never fails. You hear it all the time. Well, you know, that really didn't mean that. God, you know, this part wasn't inspired. Really? Now, who's the authority to say that some part of this Bible, who are you going to trust? If I came to you and said, now this page right here, just ignore it because it don't mean nothing. You know what you did? You just put more confidence in me than you put in God.
Right.
I say it's all right, and that God watches over it, and if there's anything I need to get out of here, He'll see to it that I get it.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna pull anything away from here.
No.
But you don't get that outside. And so I'm not trying to say you're privileged, but you are privileged. Right? Because God's got you under a message.
Yeah.
And He's got you somewhere He's taking you to. And so we want to be very, very good stewards and very serious about becoming students of what God is trying to do in our life and in our midst so that we're ready for graduation time. Amen. You love Him?
Amen.
I thank Him for shared truths and allowing me to speak things that I believe to be true that He gives. And I said that because this morning was one of those mornings like, well, I'm just going to go up there and I just have to say, Lord, you're going to have to put it, you know, together right out there. You know? So I trust that He has spoken to you something that would help you, and I'm not just going to ramble. Amen. Love you. Appreciate you. And Brother Daniel mentioned this a little while ago, and I wanted to say it also. Appreciate the Matthew, Sister Brittany, and their efforts to with the young people to get them together in fellowship and had a good time. I know at the end of the day I get pretty tired and just needing to kind of pray and study and prepare for the day and just kind of find the mind of the Lord. So I didn't spend a whole lot of time around the campfire after last night, but I trust that the young people had a good time, and I'm thankful that God has given us this little group that we have, the unity that we have. Anytime you have unity, you know the enemy wants to come in and fight against that. But, so we'll just keep it covered by prayer, covered by the blood. Amen. And I believe that we get to go together. When we get on the other side, we're going to know each other closer than we do now. And it'll be so wonderful. Brother Daniel mentioned this, I think, in praying, and you know, it's just so, seems so close. Seems so close. It doesn't mean that you have to go speak something into existence before you can have a body change. I don't know. We don't know. God may call Sister Vicky to manifest a certain thing, and the rest of you did something different. We're not. I mean, it's whatever He wants to do, right? Just like Peter. When He was saying, Peter, feed my sheep, you know, Peter's like, well, what about this guy? Well, the Lord says, well, you know, what about it? What if I tell you that he do something else? I'm talking to you. You follow me and do what I'm asking you to do. And so He may have Brother Daniel raising the dead, right? He may have Brother Tim driving people out of the money, you know. You see what I'm saying? It might be a verse, vice versa. Who knows what it is? We don't worry about that. See? But we just follow the leadership of the Lord and just let Him do. And we've got our eyes focused upon absorbing this message so that in me is faith and virtue and knowledge, temperance. Right?
Yeah.
All those virtues. Amen. So God bless you. We'll let the musicians come. Amen. We'll just pray. Lord, we want to thank you this morning, this afternoon now, for your blessings upon us to be able to sit and look upon your word. Lord, if you hadn't walked up Calvary, we wouldn't be here. Our lives would be in shambles. If your Holy Spirit had not come and spoke to us and called us from a life of sin, we would all be miserable. Some of us probably would already be in a grave. And Lord, if you hadn't sent a message to correct things and straighten these things out, then Lord, where would we be? We would just be so lost, and we'd be like Cain. We'd be wandering around, no place to call our home. But Lord, you've given us truths that you have vindicated year after year to show that these things are truth and that your word cannot pass away. And you've vindicated those to us, and you've tied us to them, and that's our stronghold. That's our place. Our stake is driven in the ground. We want to thank you for that, Lord. And
Just ask God that you'd help us to ever be faithful and true to your message. Lord, that you'd be able to express yourself through us in every way you desire. God, give to us and allow us to be victorious to gain these things in our lives, these virtues. Lord, that we can come to graduation today. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. So I'll stand and worship the Lord just for a few minutes as we get ready to go. Outside of church service, you always have access to prayer from your ministry if you need it. Counsel, anything like that. So God bless you.
I need